Good afternoon. It is 20 minutes to 2. This is the time set for the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. I will therefore call the hearing to order. We only have one item on today's agenda, which is SB 661 by Senator Hill. I would like to ask that we have two main witnesses, 2 minutes each for support, and similarly, if there is any opposition, that we have two main witnesses who will each speak for 2 minutes in opposition, and then we'll have some questions, and hopefully we can have a brief but substantial hearing. And with that, Senator Hill, please come to the table to present. And we need to call the roll.
Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Morlock? Morlock here. Anderson? Hertzberg? Leno?
Here.
Leno here. Monning? Wieckowski?
Here.
Wieckowski here.
Quorum is present. Senator Hill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for hearing this bill today. SB 661 is a reintroduction of last year's SB 119, which was vetoed by the governor in October. The only difference between this bill and that one is that we pushed back a few deadlines to conform with a later operative date. The purpose of these bills has been to prevent dangerous excavation activities by clarifying the call before you dig law, improving enforcement of that law, and developing a venue for continued discussion of safety improvement. Today, the need is even more glaring than it was a year ago. California now has the distinction of having the two most recent excavation-related gas pipeline fatalities. In April last year, the operator of a front loader hit a buried high-pressure gas line in Fresno, causing an explosion that killed one and injured 12. No call to 811 had been made. In November, an agricultural contractor struck a gas transmission line outside of Bakersfield, killing himself and severely burning 2 people nearby. And as of January 1st of this year, the Federal Pipeline Safety Regulator now has the authority to take jurisdiction of excavation safety away from California if it finds our program insufficient to protect the public. Last year, SB 119 was the result of extensive meetings with dozens of excavators, utility operators, agencies, and associations who were able to come together for the common purpose, making sure everyone who went to work could go home safe. The governor's veto of the bill had less to do with policy and more about the way in which the policy should be administered by the various state agencies who have excavation safety responsibility. We're in the governor's office is in discussion with these agencies, and I have been in conversation with the governor's office. In fact, I've met with the DCA director, who was part of the original bill, the president of the PUC. We've met with him, and an hour ago met with the governor's office, as well as last night met with the governor's office in trying to craft and put together exactly where this body, this regulatory body that will be overseeing, whether it's those water entities, those pipeline entities, the electrical entities, the telecom entities, or the petroleum entities that actually do have are the operators in the states. And these meetings have been very productive, and I feel very confident, and I think they all do as well, that we will have a solution to that. The Senate overwhelmingly passed SB 119 in September, and I ask that this committee move SB 661 so that, as I mentioned yesterday in utilities, so that the contractors, laborers, locators, operating engineers, one-call centers, counties, state agencies, farmers, landscapers, property owners, realtors, firefighters, gas, petroleum, electric, communications, water, and sewer utilities, whether municipal, JPA, or privately owned, can finish what we started over a year ago. I respectfully ask for an aye vote, members.
Thank you. Witnesses in support?
Yes, Madam Chairman and members. My name is Brett Barrow with United Contractors, the National Electrical Contractors Association, the California Legislative Conference of the Plumbing, Heating, Piping Industry, and the Western Line Constructors. And we're here today to support what has been a long stakeholder process and what we believe has resulted in a very good bill. Contractors' primary goal on job sites is worker safety. And in fact, we have training in our apprenticeship programs that goes right to excavation safety and dig safety training. So this bill would require that contractors call before they excavate and that utilities come out and mark those locations properly. So for those reasons, we support this bill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Jeremy Smith here on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent a great many of the men and women who actually operate the excavation machines. And at its essence, this bill is about health and safety. We were pleased to take part in the stakeholder process last year that got to a very good final product. We have to publicly thank Senator Hill and his staff for their hard work they put in on this bill. We hope we can find an answer that placates the governor, because this is a very important bill to keep workers safe on the job. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in support? Please.
Maria Garcia on behalf of the California.
Thank you. Any other witnesses in support?
Madam Chairwoman and Senators, Matt Moretti with AT&T in support.
Very good. Any other witnesses? Any witnesses in opposition? All right, let's open it up. I just have a quick question. Having heard this yesterday in BNP, in your committee, in which you chair, I appreciate the hard work that's gone into this. I think we heard this bill last year, got to the governor vetoed it. The liability issues, which are really within the purview of this committee, I think are fairly acceptable and appropriate. The big question is, as I understand it, the governor's veto message indicated that he felt that the enforcement mechanism was in the wrong agency. And that is, I think, where the discussions you're having now. Can you share with us, if you would, what the options are? Because that is also, you know, bills, legislation that's hard to enforce sometimes isn't worth the bother if you can't enforce it. So where is this going to, what are the options? And, you know, so we can identify how enforceable this will be, as it should be, of course.
And thank you, Madam Chair, and that is the question. The governor's veto, his comments in the veto message were that he would prefer this to be within the PUC. Where we came together with all of the stakeholders was to have this as a separate kind of entity within the Department of Consumer Affairs. And the Department of Consumer Affairs, through the Contractors License Board, would establish this body. And then what would occur, and where we've come to the conclusion, is regardless of where this body, and for me, I have no real preference where it is, because it will stand alone. And it will get the information from a dig-in circumstance, and then with that information, investigate the cause, and then allocate responsibility and liability within that. And because all of these different operators, whether it's, if it's petroleum oil, that is by the fire marshal as the regulatory. If it's natural gas, it's the PUC. If it's telecoms, in some cases it's the PUCs, in others it's the federal government, and because of their preemption of some of the internet and the operations there. So what this body would be doing is doing the investigation. And if it's within the PUC, they would be doing the investigation and then give that information to the regulatory body, whether it's the Contractor's License Board, if a contractor dug in and did not call before, or it was marked and went into where the mark was, and then it would be left to those particular responsible regulatory bodies to adjudicate it at the end of the day and enforce it at the end of the day. So that's where we're looking at. So frankly, it's where it's located isn't quite as important as what it actually will be doing and the information that it will be parsing out to those regulatory bodies.
All right, and of course that's something yet to be worked out, because the veto indicated that the governor did care where, you know, what agency.
Thought in our conversations over the last 2 days, we've tried to make the governor's office more aware of the conversations that we had, because I think there was, and the issues especially, that the PUC is, in fact, of the four dig-ins that have, in the last four fatalities, two of them were in dealing with an industry that is not regulated within the PUC. So their jurisdiction would be elsewhere, and we want to make sure that. So I think the governor's office is now aware of that as we move forward.
Any other questions, Senator Wieckowski?
I'll simply move the bill.
There is a motion. Any other questions? Senator Moorlach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Hill, I'm just curious, if you own a backhoe or some of this equipment that we're concerned about, is there a special license that you have to have?
backhoes, you know, the licensing when someone is doing excavating, and I believe that there's a contractor's license board is the body that oversees any construction and any work that is being done through that. And usually it's the excavator. If you have the backhoe, he's doing that as a contract from someone that is requiring that. A utility may be asking him to do that. In many cases, if it's your backhoe in your backyard, you could dig a hole and you would be doing that on your own. Certainly, I wouldn't suggest it, but that would be something that could be done. So there are licenses that then would hold those people responsible.
So is there like a certification process?
To become a contractor in California, you have requirements that you...
So was the contractor held liable for these incidents that you have in your report?
Contractors have been held liable and operators have been held liable. If contractor is held liable, if he digs in without calling prior to that, or if it is properly marked and the contractor digs into the marked area where it signifies and indicates that there's a utility underground, then he's held responsible. If he goes and it is marked, but it is improperly marked, which sometimes happens, then and he relies on that information provided by the operator and digs in and creates a problem, then it's the operator who is responsible. The problem that we've had is someone needs to take responsibility, and of late and over the last few years, because of the myriad of agencies responsible, they've civilly determined liability, but that has not resolved and solved the problem of enforcement at the end and stopping the problem from continuing to exist. And that's where we need this information collected, the data analyzed, and properly enforced through the regulator that would do that.
Well, it's showing that the main reason we've had these incidents is that they failed to call 811 or contact anyone. And I'm trying to think, if you're someone who's licensed or maybe certified, why would that kind of mistake occur? And is this the right answer to stop that from? And that's where I'm trying to own your idea.
I'll tell you why it's the right answer, Senator Morlock, is that what we have seen is that, and I don't particularly agree that most of these are because they didn't call beforehand. Many of these incidents have been, the one that just recently occurred in Bakersfield, the person did call before. And they've just used, you know, improper techniques, or they have gone outside of what has occurred. But the challenge has been that even when they call, in some cases when they don't call, it is because they have not been informed in some way and the education has not been as prominent and as repetitive as it should be to make sure that they continue to do what is responsible, which is call. Or they think that in some cases they don't need to call. In many cases they call, they don't wait for, sometimes they do not wait for the markings to be done within the 48 hours. They get, and they will dig without waiting for the proper marks to be on the ground. So there is, education is a major focus of this. But it also requires that we have instances where the operator has, you know, as I mentioned, mismarked, and then the operator, the excavator comes out to mark. And these require, in many cases, not just excavation, but they require hand tools and other things that are used. It's not always a backhoe.
So this bill also requires that homeowners will have to do a 2 days notification if they want to do any digging on their property?
And I don't recall if the bill required that of anyone. Let me find out, Tony.
In advance of evacuation on their property, they have...
Before using mechanical tools, I'm sorry. If you're going to use a backhoe in your backyard, you should call 2 days before to make sure you do.
You're adding that provision. So we've got to inform the whole world now that if you're going to do something on your own yard...
Well, if you're using a backhoe, yes. If you're using hand tools, no.
And then... I'm just curious, what about emergencies? If I've got a pipe that's causing flooding in my front yard, wouldn't I want to start working on it immediately and not have to give a 2-day notice?
Well, I don't know the circumstance of that, but frankly, if it's in the front of my yard, I would want to make sure that there's no gas lines right next to it if I'm going to dig a hole there.
Oh, if I'm not mistaken, emergencies are exempted from the requirement.
I didn't see that. So if that helped, that's the answer I'm looking for. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And then could you just tell me the federal excavation regulator, you made a comment that they could intercede and usurp authority here in the state?
I think that's what could occur after January 1st of this year.
And is that an official title, federal excavator regulator?
I don't know what the official title, I don't know if it's PHMSA. PHMSA, yes, Federal Emergency, PHMSA is the organization, Federal.
All right, I'll look it up later then. I didn't see it in my reading, so I'll check it out. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Very good. Any other questions? Thank you, Senator Moorlach. Any other questions? All right, we have a motion. Do you wish to briefly close?
Respectfully ask for an aye vote, members. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hill. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Jackson?
Aye.
Jackson, aye. Moorlach?
No.
Moorlach, no. Anderson? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye.
All right, that's 5-1. And do we think Senator Anderson will be here? Shall we just simply close the roll? He's ill? All right, so we will simply close the roll. That measure passes to the Senate floor. Where's Senate Appropriations Committee. Thank you, Senator Hill.
Thank you,
and with that, colleagues, we are adjourned.